Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So our weekend assignments. On Friday, do your daily practice. Cultivate an attitude that encourages and supports the practitioner. Throughout the day, each time you hear a negative message, turn attention to encouragement. Pick up the recorder to offer an encouraging message to the practitioner. And on Saturday, do your daily practice. Come up with a special way to express appreciation for the practitioner. Remember, appreciation is not related to performance. We are practicing unconditional love and acceptance. And on Sunday, do your daily practice. Today, have a focus on kindness, all the kindness you receive and all the kindness you offer. Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello, hi. It's Anna from Yorkshire in England.
Well, hello there.
Hello, hi. Can you hear me okay?
Perfectly. What are you seeing?
Lots and lots of things.
So much.
Yeah, and it's all really good as well. I've loved doing the kindness, the focus on I've loved all of them, and the focus on kindness feels like such a relief. What happened was I just felt like, I could stop efforting now, and just feels like, I can relax.
What a relief.
Yeah, like a relief, because I think that I think about being kind to others or what is the kind thing to do to the planet and all things like that, but sometimes forget about being kind to the human being. So that was a good reminder, and I enjoyed doing my recording for that.
It's so important, isn't it? To disidentify such that we do not take the human being personally. We don't have an attitude of ownership, right? Which is how the ego views the human being, right?
Yeah.
We are a body and a mind capable of doing ego's bidding. Right?
Yeah.
That's the relationship. We're like a slave. Ego is the master. And with what you're describing, to disidentify from ego, to step back and say, look at that human being. What a kind human being she is. Let's include her in the kindness, right? Because she's the source of the kindness. She's the recipient, but she's also the bestower of the kindness. So she's not exempt from it at all, or removed from it.
Yeah, absolutely, yes. I have found it really helpful all along, and with the previous assignments, I've been really enjoying the aspect of identified with and disidentified with, and seeing me as all sorts of things, you know, a body and a mind and all the things that happen within that. And that has helped me to say, right, okay, I'm going to, be kind. And when I did the assignment, the ways to be kind dropped in, and they hadn't dropped in before. And they were common sense things, really, but that I'd been really bamboozled with previously by ego in terms of, you can't do that because that's selfish, or you can't do that because people think da-da-da. And all of that drops away when you think about being kind to this human in the way that you might think of, you know, being kind to any other human or
to anybody. Right? As soon as we see it, it's ridiculous, isn't it? So there is a way that I want to be to everybody else, animals, plants, humans, right? I so want to be that way. And I should leave this this one particular human being out of that equation. Because that's somehow noble, or, you know, it's the right person thinking. It's just absurd.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Completely.
It's the way ego uses kindness against us.
Yeah, because it's really painful. It doesn't feel very
kind. Terrible. Yeah. 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 All right. Well, that's a lovely thing. Then the kindness is even easier because you're happy.
Right? Yes. Yeah. That's it. Oh, utterly. Absolutely. That's it. Perfectly. Happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to go happy now.
Yes. And happy people tend to be kind, right? So we want to be really kind to the human being, so the human being will be happy, so the human being will be kind, and that wheel of karma just starts turning in that direction we want it to go in.
I've really noticed that. It feels like a really exciting thing. It's like, oh, I'm going to be even really, really kind. So, yeah. It just comes really naturally. But it's like opening a present for me, but I'm doing it for someone else. It's like, oh, I can see clearly now. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks, Anna. Sherry, the thing I picked up is in how you worded that we take the human being personally.
Mm.
But it's just such an interesting perspective on non-separation, that if we think of ego as that which separates or that which excludes from the all, then it's a way in which I am outside of that. Mm-hmm. And so to step out of the process of I, which is the ego process, and to live in the inclusion that includes all, I've actually never seen disidentification in that way, that when we disidentify with ego, we can identify with all.
Yes.
And so that all includes me, because I'm not in that process of ownership that you described, where somehow I'm separate from everything else.
Mm-hmm. And it's fiendish, isn't it? Because most of us, I would project, were raised to believe that excluding the self is a noble, good, right thing to do. It's selfless. And it's the most selfish thing in the world, because we're completely identified with ego.
Yes. Well, and that place that, which I think was the nuance you pointed to that I found really helpful, is that that it's only when we don't take ourselves personally that kindness is possible for everything. In other words, I have to be completely outside the ego process to witness the human being as I would another human being or a plant or an animal.
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I loved it when Anna said, it's like opening a present for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it feels like. Yes. It's so exciting to be included in that way. That's what we've all always wanted, whether we've known it or not, to be included in unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
Healing.
Yeah. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Christine in Oregon.
Hello, Christine.
Hi.
What are you seeing?
Let's see. I'm hiking, and so I'm breathing a little heavier for a second here. But so ego didn't. This is one thing that ego does to me, is at the beginning of the assignment, I thought, or ego thought, well, I really need to choose some type of relationship, a boyfriend relationship, so that I can, you know, fix this, whatever it is, you know, whatever problem I have. And then, so I'm not dating, anybody right now.
So I can finally get this sorted out.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. And I'm not dating anybody right now. So it took a little bit of time. And there wasn't a clear thing for me to look at. And so finally I realized, Well, just pick a relationship I'm having currently, which is, so I chose my sister, my relationship with my sister, and then that was really helpful to look specifically at something that's current. And let's see, so maybe you would have something to say about this. I wanted, for a behavior change, there were two things, but it doesn't quite hit my heart exactly. And one is, so there are times that I've felt hurt, I guess, because my sister doesn't do the relationship like I thought she would or I wanted her to. Basically, friends, you know, being friends and being close friends. So I had an expectation or I have a desire for to be closer friends, but that's not exactly how it's been. And so
and I'm projecting the component of unconditional love.
Yes, with unconditional love and for me to her and her to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're one another's person, somebody you can always count on, somebody who's going to be there for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be nice. And so two things. One, intellectually I know I can give that to myself, so I'm not trying to suck this energy from somebody else because I want something. So I can give that to myself. And then the second thing was to approach the relationship with my sister new every single time. I don't have to drag any old stuff into it, you know. It's new it can be new every time. So those are two things I can practice with.
This might not be it, but this is what dropped in for me. That you can be with her. I like the new every time. Because, boy, if we could bring that to our relationships, that would just kind of change everything. But you can be with her every time you're with her or all the time, the way you want the relationship to be.
Yes. Yes. And I know.
So,
I think this is...
So, Christine?
Yes.
It's twofold. Excuse me. One, it's great practice. Okay? And two, you will be having with her what you want. And you'll see that it's not actually what she does, that makes the difference. It's what you're doing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and you know, the other thing that is very common is when I do something with her, take a walk or stop and visit and say hi, all of that actually is perfectly fine. It's, you know, how ego does it. It's later, well, you know, you're not getting, you know, what you need, blah, 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 you know, whatever it says, blah, blah, blah. But when I'm with her, you know, it is just seems like a normal, nice relating. Okay, so I'm going to have, yes, and so I'm going to have consciously, like what you said, go ahead.
Being with her,
being
the way you want the relationship to be. Okay.
Being with my sister.
Being with your sister, which is different from being with you, the way you want the relationship to be. Yes, that's one aspect of it. But being with her, so you are in all of the ways with her, the way you want her to be with you. Okay? And you may, as you kind of sounds like you're doping out, you may realize, oh, well, it's already like that. And then what you get to close in on is maybe there's no problem with this relationship. Maybe the problem is with ego and with what it's doing when we're not together, which is a wonderful opportunity for the kind of exercise that goes like this. Ego says, my relationship with my sister is not the blah, 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 whatever ego says, right? And that's a lie. Our relationship is actually fine. When we're together, it's da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And without that conversation with ego, we don't have a problem. Because what it sounds like is that ego is trying to drive a wedge between you and your sister.
Yeah, like it does in all the relationships that I would
That's right.
that I
and
want
then,
to have.
And then blame it on her.
Yeah. Yeah. And
it's
me.
So nasty.
Of course, it blames it
oh,
on
well,
me, too.
You, of course, but only after her.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the first place it's going to go is, well, you know, she's just not blah, 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 blah. She just doesn't whatever it is. Well, now we've established that it's really her fault. However, it'll be quick to point out to you all of the ways that you're lacking that
mm-hmm.
contribute to the, and very possibly there's nothing wrong at all with the relationship.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
That can be fun to practice with, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is.
Because establishing that there isn't a problem with the relationship and you want to practice unconditional love and an intimacy, a closeness with your sister, you want to practice that. You get to practice that with your sister and you get to have that for yourself. And she never has to know anything is going on.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and so if I feel left out or if I feel whatever it is, I guess I don't feel that way when I'm with her. I feel that way when I'm not.
Yes.
So
anyway, which is
that's the ego thing. Yeah.
Yep. The voices are saying blah, 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 blah. But that's not true. I don't feel that way when I'm with her.
Yeah. You know, I already started mm-hmm. doing a little bit of that. It's true. Okay.
Good.
Doing those recordings. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, have a happy
Thank
hike.
You. Thank you very much.
All right.
Okay.
Take
Go
care.
Happy.
Bye
Thank
bye.
You.
Go happy.
Bye.
Thanks, Christine. Jerry, in the workshop yesterday, I think you said you could talk someone into a state of unhappy depression in 3 second stops. I mean, 3 minutes.
Yeah, well, 3 minutes stops, yeah.
Yes. And so what dropped in about that conversation you were having with Christine is really that we have the experience that we're talked into, which then becomes the reality until we bring sufficient presence to the situation, as Christine was bringing, to go, well, when I'm with her, I don't feel like that. So why do I feel like that about our relationship? Because I'm listening to a conversation that talks me into believing that is my relationship with my sister. But I only have that experience when I'm listening to that conversation, that when I'm really present, I actually don't have anything going about anything.
Yes. Isn't that just enormous to see?
Mm-hmm. It is.
We are being talked into our experience all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, and that's why I think the behavior change that we talked about with Christine is you want to then be talked into internalizing your reality rather than unconsciously assuming that what the voices say is true, which is why mm-hmm. we do that what is true recording. Because whenever that experience or that sensation arises that somehow or the other I have a relationship here that's not giving me what I want, I want to rapidly know that I'm in that conversation and for awareness to register the truth of, actually, there's nothing wrong in my relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. And
right?
that's the key, isn't it? Recognizing
yes.
the conversation rather than believing its reality.
Yes. Well, and the practical suggestion that you just gave, which is to behave the way I want to be in this relationship that I'm expecting, sort of be the person you want to be in the relationship that you want to
mm-hmm.
have, is
mm-hmm.
actually only possible if we're not in a conversation.
Yeah.
So in both ways, both both practices assist us to be present.
Yes. And
rather than be in the conversation.
Yes. And if we want support, we can take advantage of a conversation, but it'll be one we choose to engage in consciously.
Yes.
So exactly. These are the things I love about my sister. This is what I enjoy most about being with her. I just love it when she does that. It's so cute that she blah, blah, blah. So we can actually use that brainwashing system, the process of it, for ourselves. Because mm-hmm. when there yes. is a gap, we are very likely to go unconscious. And when we go unconscious, we're in that unconscious reality, faux reality, creating conversation and conditioned mind. So if I'm yes. not paying attention to what I love about my sister, a conversation is going to start about, why is she like that? Why does she do that? Why can't...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Mark, yet still in Arizona.
Hey, Mark.
Hi.
What are you seeing?
This is, you know, every now and then one of you says something that sets me off. It just opens up all new doors. And it was a little bit ago when there was a lot of discussion about emptiness. And for me, emptiness is heart, or heart and hara, that whole huge valley or space of, and I found that if I, when I'm in a point of stress, if I can remember, which of course life eventually gets
that's,
through and
yeah, you know, that's the trick. But we do have support.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. It might take a while, and I might be a very mm-hmm. unpleasant person between A and B, or, you know, acting out under ego's tutelage. But mm-hmm. I've learned that experience of being in that space, of dropping down. You could almost call it like the mind then is that huge nervous system that goes across the belly just below the rib cage, and mm-hmm. I just get pulled down into that mind, if you wanted to look at it that way, and it's addictively good. Really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's mm-hmm. I right now that I'm, you know, I get excited, I'm on the call, and if I just go down to that place, it's just like, oh my goodness. Well, that leads to, because I, for a couple of years now, I've been working on experiencing everything as everything. So that mm-hmm. means that the wall and I'm looking at a brick wall, are the same, really, and so forth. And being thankful mm-hmm. that the way of getting to that, and I'm thankful for the chair, you know, that it holds me up and so forth. And so then, I think a week or so ago, one of you said something, or you've been saying for a long time, who do you serve? You know, serving ego or serving life? And that echoes, because my wife used to talk that way, service to person, service to community, service to et cetera. And I always took that, I took it in a very ego way, of course, that's, a, you know, you have to go out and do things. You have to be this, you have to do that, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
join a committee.
Join a committee, yeah, or three, you know, or whatever. And I can look at my life, because I am what I do for money is service, and what I do for joy is music, which is a kind of service, in that way. But I realized that I'm seeing, I'm, you know, getting a little befuddled here, so let me see if I can put it into a sense that service to the intelligence that animates is an experience of being of intelligence that animates. The service is, and it lights me up, being, so I can ask at any one time if I'm in a difficult moment and so forth, how am I serving that? I think Teresa of Avila or somebody like that would talk about serving God or being of God. And if going to the heart place is addictive, experiencing that as service to the intelligence that animates is amazing, and we're not done yet. The intelligence that animates, every now and then, you know, there are cues. This is something you said last week. There are cues all around. Now, you know, I've lived amongst people who would view ritual and things like that, and I didn't do the ritual exactly right, and so now there's going to be a lot of trouble. That's all ego stuff, right? And I've objected to it for a long time. But if I'm constantly being aware that this person in front of me, who may be quite angry, or maybe even my enemy, if you want to go the Jesus route, that person is an expression of the intelligence that animates, that is me, and there's a lesson there to be. There's something there for me to learn. So getting caught up in this relationship that is not a relationship, with, you know, anger or whatever, letting it spiral out of control, all that nasty stuff that goes on, that's not serving, right? It's not
anything except
nothing.
Ego.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's not listening. It's not paying attention to what is the lesson here, because there is a lesson in that person who's angry or whatever. There's a lesson in the dog biting my ankle, if that were the case. I mean,
so I would use slightly different language, and that is that there is a gift in that, right? There's an opportunity for you to do exactly what you're talking about. So the person is perceived as an enemy by ego.
Right.
The opportunity, the gift in that, is to move beyond that and see that person as me.
Right.
Right? And then the expansion into awareness that shows us a non-separate reality.
Right.
So, So, which I think is what you're pointing at. Is,
yes.
Right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Gift's a better word.
Everything in life is the service aspect of it is the awakening process, right? Because every time you go beyond a belief that someone is an enemy, that serves all, right? If we go back to the you're more kind, you're happier, you're you're more generous, you're more unconditionally loving. Right.
Oh yeah.
And in that way, serving. So in the, you heard the poem, I can't remember exactly how it was phrased, but the divine came to me and asked for charity,
right.
And I said, "What can I give?" And the answer was, "Just love, just love." How can we serve?
Right.
We can love.
Well. And you're pointing to another thing which has been served as a confusion for me for forever. The word awareness, I understood erroneously to be kind of like Sherlock Holmes, you know, walk into a room, get it all, like down to the smallest detail. And that may be, but again, a week or two ago, one of you pointed out that if I'm aware of the subpersonality, so again, let's say I'm in this difficult moment, I'm getting ready to, or I've just gotten identified, I'm now looking at disidentifying, I really resonate with the concept and the experience of subpersonalities. They're like parts, you know, and I have a degree in theater, so that really works. And so I look to, wow, who's up? And what belief are they, you know, this is the stuff you've been teaching, this is finally hit. Like, oh. And that's expanding awareness. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Okay, Mark, I don't know when I'll get a chance to talk to you again, so let's go with this.
Yeah.
Let's just say that awareness is a synonym for emptiness, for consciousness, for presence.
Yeah.
Okay? For all that is.
Okay,
Okay, all right.
Maybe even mind has something very much to do with awareness. Is that right?
Yes. Sometimes people will use mind with a capital M.
Yes.
To attempt to point at, we're not talking about this small mind that's just grappling with all this stuff. Right. I always find that a little iffy for myself because there are so many associations with it. It's so hard. You know, one of the things we talk about endlessly is people can't realize that ego is ego and it's not them because we're so identified with ego. Same with small mind. We're so identified with small mind that it's very difficult to have it, to have a broader whole mind. Yeah. All right. Well, I know we're at time. There's your assignment, huh?
Yeah. It's a great assignment.
Expanded awareness. Of awareness.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Stepping back. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Mark.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Thanks, Mark. And Sherry, that brings us to the end of the show. Our practice for today, our assignment for today. Do your daily practice. Today, have a focus on gratitude for what you have.
That's a good one. Kindness and gratitude. Who could ask for anything more, huh? All right. Well, thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Sherry.
Until mañana.
Go happy.
Go happy.